Welcome to this week's edition of Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. Each week, I'll be discussing different issues and different ideas with entrepreneurs from Malta and overseas to help you change or start your own business. Welcome to this week's interview with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest is Ilona Vella-Bencini.
Good morning.
Now, you gave up your full-time job to do a startup. So
yes.
How did you get to the point of realizing your day job was no longer the thing to do?
I had been toying with this idea for about 5 years.
Okay.
So, you know, it wasn't something I just, you know, woke up and decided, okay, I'm quitting my job. And, you know, diving in headfirst. I thought about it quite long and hard until I came, you know, to that point where I just said, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to give it a shot and see what happens, really.
So was it the same idea that you'd had 5 years previously that you'd sort of mulled over and digested
pretty
until
much.
It became, yeah?
Yes, okay. Pretty much.
And that gave you a lot of time, I guess, to do research and all of the background stuff that you need to do before
yes, exactly. And, you know, until I took that decision, I was also speaking to the team who I chose to develop the site, you know, and sort of brainstorming and exchanging ideas before I actually said, yes, let's do it.
So tell us a bit about your startup.
Sure.
Well,
so the site
now,
is called chooseabid.com.
Mm-hmm.
Why choose a bid? Basically, it's a cross between, I call it a bidding site or an auction site, and a price comparison site. So if you are a user and you're in need of a service, for example, I don't know, we're at university at the moment, let's think dissertations and
yes,
and all that. So if you need, yes, or proofreading,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know, sort of that sort of thing, or anything related to the home, to business, to personal, and that sort of stuff. Basically, it's anything. If you need a handyman, if you need, like I mentioned, a proofreader, if you need a nail technician, pretty much anything. You can go just specify what service you need. There are just a couple of things you need to fill in, so obviously we understand what you're after. And once you press submit, anyone who is registered as the business providing that service will receive your email.
Okay.
If they're available, they can obviously just give you a quick quote and tell you, obviously, you know, what the price is going to be. And that way you can sort of receive various quotes and pick the one that makes most sense.
Choose your bid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You choose your bid, literally.
Okay. And this can sometimes be someone is more available so they can do it on the day you want it or the day before you actually need it rather than on the day you want it cheaper. It's up to you how you
yes, exactly.
choose your supplier.
Yes, it also depends. I mean, it's still early days for this, you know, seeing that I provide all sorts of services. Obviously, it will take a time, you know, a while till the site grows and one gets enough reviews, but this is where I was going. Basically, you will also choose your supplier based on reviews.
Okay.
So that's, I think, quite an important part. You know, they're building up slowly, but they're there. Unfortunately, people don't really like
don't like to review,
review so. Unless it's a negative review, then they like to review. But but no, in my case, at least, thankfully, all the reviews have been very positive.
So this is so you know that somebody else has used the service. They've
exactly.
turned up on time, done
exactly.
what they're supposed to do.
Because even, you know, myself as representing chooseabid.com, if I see that a certain service provider, you know, is receiving 1, 2, 3 bad reviews, then obviously I wouldn't really want that guy, you know, on
yes.
the site at all. So it helps new customers and it helps us as well, and, you know, to sort of filter out the good from the bad. Thankfully, till now, they've all been very positive.
So you were saying all sorts of people online, so nail technicians, proofreaders,
yes.
gardeners, house
yeah.
maintenance.
Exactly.
Okay. Is there, you said business services as well. So.
Yes, you can get an accountant. I don't know. You can get brand, you know, people who work in brand
okay.
and graphic designers. There's all sorts of stuff.
And
it's split by category,
uh-huh.
basically.
Okay. So you can literally say, I want to design a website or I want to design a flyer and somebody on your site.
Yes, ideally you choose the
category or something.
Yes, sort of. So you need, you know, like you're saying, you would go for web developer or graphic designer, or you know,
you look for the sort of profession.
You look for the profession, exactly. That's the word I was looking for.
And then you have a deadline, I guess. And
yes, you put in your due date, either by when you want the quotes to come in or when you actually need the service to be completed. And you send it out. You send it out, as in you just click submit. And they, you know, whoever is registered on the other end will receive it and respond accordingly.
Okay. But it is up to you to choose. You don't have to do the one that comes in cheapest because they might not be the person.
No, you don't have to do anything at all. Yeah. I mean, you're not putting in a request. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, necessarily choose someone of the options you received.
So do you subscribe for this service? How do... you pay for it.
Really, you don't even subscribe, no. You just, literally, when you go on the site, you'll see nothing but sort of what service are you looking for, a little box where you just type in what service you need. Then obviously it will ask you for your name, your number, etc. But I like to point out, because some people, I think, worry that this is sort of, you know, everyone is going to see what one posts. It's not like that. It's not one of these websites or social media sites where everyone sees. It's completely private. Mm-hmm. Only the service providers who receive, you know, your request will even see who you are. Literally, I mean, see who you are. I think it's just your name and either surname or initials, something like that. So it's quite private, but nobody else. So okay. All other users don't see. You only see what you yourself would have requested, so your own job listing sort of.
So your neighbour doesn't know you're planning to build a
exactly.
massive fountain in your back garden. You know?
Exactly. No. So nobody sees each other's requests. Only the service providers, who obviously have a different back end, will see all the requests that would have come in, either the ones that concern them or, you know, or any others that might be of interest to them. But they also don't see your telephone number. They see nothing of the sort.
Okay.
So we only share, you know, a telephone number or an address, etc., either after the service has been booked or if, you know, the service provider needs further details from the customer. As for paying, basically the way Choose a Bid earns a buck is by taking a commission off every service booked.
Okay.
So if you don't book a service, obviously you pay nothing. Well, technically the client shouldn't pay anything anyway, because okay. it's the service provider who we take a cut off. So if you know, he has a total bill of 100 euros, we take a small cut of that. But as a client, you shouldn't pay anything.
Okay. And so how quickly do you get your responses from the
It depends sometimes on the industry, you know. Let's say the home related ones, these guys are all, you know, they're out on the job, they're not behind the computer.
Good.
So it might take them a while, you know. I have to do some chasing there as well, so there's some work that has to be done in the back end. It's not as smooth as it sounds, you know, that, yeah, you put in your request and they get back to you. No, there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes as well. So yes, there might be some chasing there, but it depends on, again, the service. Some are really quick to respond, you know, in an hour you'll get a response, and some might take a few days.
Uh-huh.
So it also depends on the urgency of the request, you know. If I see that it's something that needs to be done in a couple of days, I'll sort of make sure that you get quotes as soon as.
Yeah. There's always a lot that goes on in the back end, and people don't realize.
Exactly.
They, you know, just assume, well, drop all your tools, I'm important, and it can't be like that, I guess. How about the take up from service providers? How has that been? Have you got like one area that's stronger than another, or is it's like across the board, you can provide everything that one would need?
Before I actually launched, I worked quite hard on sort of the database. And when I say database, I obviously mean the service providers. Some are more responsive than others. So in certain, you know, sectors, we sort of had to work a bit more there. I mean, when it comes to requests, the home-related services are the ones that are most sought after.
Mm.
So obviously that is where a lot of focus and energy went. It's also the sector that is most difficult because they'll tell you we're fully booked for the rest of the year, for example. So, you know, you need options.
Mm.
So, yes, that's, I suppose, going to be a never-ending mission to try and get more and more service providers. But even from the service provider end, they have literally nothing to lose because there's no advertising, as in it's free to be there. So it costs them absolutely nothing.
Until they take a job.
Exactly. So if they get business, then... well and good. I mean, they're usually always happy to give us our small cut,
mm-hmm.
Because they do so anyway with, you know, it's how the industry works, uh-huh. sort of thing. So, so yes.
So how do you, because I guess, you know, there'll be different types of people that you're employing, so not all of them are going to be technically savvy. So
exactly.
They're not going to have something on their mobile phone.
That's another issue that we face. Yes, sometimes, you know, they're like, oh, just, you know, can you submit this for me? Okay, you know, we'll do it from the back end. So yes, sometimes we have to do that as well.
Hand-holding. Yeah. So how did you go about actually finding people to... go onto this site as a, you know, as a virgin site, as a brand new idea for Malta? How did you find, you know, gardeners and nail technicians, whatever, to work with you?
Oh, a lot of research and help from, picking up, taking photos even, you know, okay, I shouldn't be saying this when I'm on the road, but, you know, you see a van passing by, friends, family, and whoever knew I was doing this all, you know, sending me pictures of, or business cards or stuff like that. A lot, mostly from the internet,
mm-hmm.
I would say the vast majority, you know, the minute you do a search, you find a lot even from social media.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of basically everyone's dirty work because everyone is capable of doing that, I suppose. But you need the time, the patience, the effort. So yes, I sort of built up a database, which is, again, it's never complete. You know, there's always new people.
And a churn, I suppose, like you said, if people don't respond or if they don't do the job they're expected to, you just need to find replacements for them.
Exactly.
And so that was how long did it take you from then start to finish? You said you'd left your job, or you'd been thinking about this for about 5 years. Did you then leave your job and like, hey, press the button, chooseabid.com worked? is that
no,
it?
No, not at all. I only launched, in fact, at the beginning of the year before, and I actually left my job in May of 2018.
Okay.
So, yes, there was a lot of work to be done before.
Stalking
actually.
Builders and nail technicians.
Exactly, and dealing with the web developers, because I knew exactly how I wanted the site to be. I did a lot of research. I mean, this is not a concept that I sort of invented. Strangely, in my head, I thought I invented it, but then after doing the research, I found out it actually exists. And then, obviously, you know, comparing to internationally successful sites, mm-hmm. Seeing what works there, trying to adapt to Malta, because internationally they sort of ask you to pay upfront if you want to be connected with this service provider, or the service provider has to pay something to message the client, and a lot of that, which I didn't really believe would work in Malta, at least. So obviously a lot of tweaking, a lot of toing and froing.
Obviously design as well. That's something you have to...
Yes. A lot of content as well. Even, you know, there's a lot of automated emails that go out, you know, with every call to action. There's sort of an automated email which goes. So there's a lot of that stuff, uh-huh. which, you know, a lot of thought. And the user journey had to be simple and friendly and all that. So...
And do you find most people are using their phone or their home computer or their iPad, or you don't have that information? I'm just wondering what type, you know, are people doing it at their desk while they're on a conference call? Oops. Or are they doing it, you know, at their desk full time, you know?
There's a bit of a mix. I think mostly will be from their laptop, not actually from their phone, because there isn't an app.
Okay.
So if you want to go, as in it's responsive, yes, you can use it from your phone.
So that means it looks the same on your phone as it does on your
exactly,
computer.
Exactly, pretty much. Yes, but there is not an app, so as in you don't have to actually download the app. I didn't find the need for that. I don't know, maybe...
I think you're probably right. They're very expensive and they never seem to be finished or...
they always have a lot of issues,
updates,
exactly.
You know, so.
And I found that a lot of people don't really like downloading apps unless it's an app they really use, like WhatsApp or Facebook, you know, like everybody has those, but they take up a lot of space on your phone. So if it's not an app that you're using constantly, you know, and this is not something that you're going to be using constantly, it's, you know,
you'd hope.
I would hope that people
horrible
would.
Phase when you're just finishing your house.
But yeah, so I didn't think, you know, at least at this stage, it was the case to create an app.
So if you've just joined us, I'm talking to Ilona Vella-Bengini of ChooseABid.com, and I'm Monique Chambers. So just going into this, you're talking about creating this site from scratch. So you've got best practice from international sites, you've learned the, you know, or you know what sort of design you want, you've got responsive websites and all of this stuff. How do you know this stuff? Where did you learn that stuff from?
Well, my full-time employment was in the gaming industry, so I worked with websites for 12 years. I'm not a technical person myself, so, I mean, I don't understand much in, you know, what goes into building a site. But I understand what makes a site user-friendly. I understand, you know, how the user journey should be. I understand in customer relationship management and, you know, all that goes with it. So, obviously, my background helped. I think otherwise it wouldn't really have been possible.
But so for somebody who might not have your background, how do you brief someone to build a website for you? How do you go through that user journey you talked about? Is it difficult? It sounds quite complex when you think of all the service providers you have, all the...
I think the key is knowing exactly what you want. If you know exactly what you want, it's quite easy to explain. I mean, I did have sort of a few PowerPoint, you know, designs and sort of, you know, to run them through exactly how I want the flow to go from this page to this page and, you know, the layout and whatnot. So let's say I was a bit of a pain in the nowhere. But yes, but by the end of it, I mean, as much as I think they wanted to murder me, hi from here, my designers and developers. At the end, they told me, you know, it was really great working with you because it's so much easier when you know exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who don't have my sort of background, they told me they have a lot of problems dealing with them because they don't understand, you know, the flow, or they don't really understand how websites should work. So even when it comes to the back end, you know, I didn't really need training because I know how to use, you know.
So is it quite complicated at the back end, or is it something quite simple? So, you know, when you expand, you can hire people to do all of that kind of stuff.
Yes, I mean, no, with training, anyone can do it. I mean, like any other website.
Just filling in data into certain boxes.
And yes, exactly.
Managing and maintaining.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most complicated, as in from a developer's perspective, was the front end, because it's completely bespoke. It's not like a WordPress site that you just, you know, easily put it. So it's completely bespoke. So it was a bit of a headache. They didn't even, I think, expect it to be such a headache. But anyway, it works today, and that's what counts.
So you got exactly what you wanted in the end. So what you'd sort of imagined in your head.
Completely.
Yes.
No. I mean, I think as a user, I really can't understand if, you know, no matter how non-tech savvy one is, I think literally anyone can use this site. I think it's more people wouldn't use it, maybe because, you know, they panic, oh, I don't know how to do these things, but really give it a shot, because you don't really have, it will literally, you know, prompt you and guide you through the process.
So how did you test it? So did you sort of get your mum to have a go, and your, you know, I don't know if you have kids, sisters or brothers, did you get other people to have a go at it to see, and just to put random requests in to see if they could actually
at the beginning we kind of did a soft launch, and there was a lot of testing by the team of developers, myself, mostly, but yes, I did get a few family members to test it. But as I said, I'm so annoying in this sense, very much. that I wanted to do it myself, because even if I told a family member, I mean, they wouldn't really know, you know, that, okay, if I press this, then I'm supposed to receive this, and this is supposed to look like this, you know, and
you know what it's,
there's a missing full stop here, you know, it's like that sort of thing. So I wanted to do a lot of it myself.
Scary.
Yes, I think I am. But, you know, it's my baby, so I wanted it, you know, perfect.
To be perfect. No, so, if you're leaving a lucrative job in gaming.
Exactly.
You know, live your dream.
Yes.
It kind of has to be right. You can't cut corners, I guess.
Exactly. And, you know, I thought if it's not going to work properly, then, you know, it will be off-putting for people to actually use.
But did you find it had to be perfect before you launched, or do you allow yourself the sort of iterative approach where, you know, it can move and change and you can see, oh, okay, no, I can see that needs to be bigger, smaller.
No, there were, in my brain, it had to be perfect before we launched. But obviously there were things that, you know, through, let's say, the 2 months of testing, not even 2 months, a month or so of sort of testing, yeah, there were certain changes that had to be made. Not big changes, but yes, that you say, okay, no, this doesn't really make sense, you know, let's tweak it.
Okay. And what feedback are you getting from punters, from customers, users themselves?
They love it. I mean, I've had repeat users, and that for me is showing me that exactly that they like it. And I mean, sometimes I get to speak to clients myself because, as I said, there's a lot of work in the back end, and certain projects, larger projects, you know, it's not so simple as, okay, you just get a quote. I mean, if you have, let's say, I don't know, certain works to be done in your home, you can't just get a quick quote. You have to send the guys on site, you know, they have to actually see what needs to be done, etc. So I sometimes do get to speak to the client, and also, you know, I like to take an interest in especially the larger projects. You know, it's always nice to sort of follow through. And they tell me, you know, oh, thank God there's this website. I wouldn't even have known where to start. So in general, the feedback has been good.
So how do you actually acquire customers? Because again, a new concept for Malta, probably something, even if you travel often, you might not come across, because you're not looking for those things when you're traveling. Yeah. You're on holiday, you've got a concierge basically to do anything for you. So how do you reach out to customers to use them? So, okay, you stalk people in the street and on the road to get
the other side,
providers. But how do you find users?
To be honest, I've taken it a bit slow because I didn't want to go out with some huge marketing campaign and not be able to cope with the amount of requests. So till now, it's only been pretty much social media, Facebook, Instagram, sort of daily posts or frequent posts, and mostly organic. Now I think I will start to change my strategy a little bit and try to, you know, get a bit more.
And now you have some information, you know what people are looking for, you know what times of day they're using, that kind of thing. So you can use that information to time your posts or to do more publicity.
That will help.
So do you do all of that as well? You do all of that?
No.
Ah, I was going to say, when do you sleep? You know, I'd be looking for a sleep provider if I were you by now.
No, I get somebody to look after my social media.
So I guess they could kind of do bulk bits, and you can plan seasonal
exactly stuff. yes even, you know, everything is very much timed. If there are feasts, you know, you put a post out, you know, I don't know, you try and tie it in with,
so,
you know,
so there's quite a lot of, you really have put quite a lot of thought into this. So if there's wedding season, there's all the the wedding stuff you need to know about and do, and feasts, that's a good one actually. So it's for me, for feasts, which roads to avoid? can I ask you that question?
Okay, no. We will not be able to help with such a request.
Yeah, what happens actually if you can't do something? Do you just pick up the phone to the user and then find them something?
Yes, I mean, I've received some very odd requests. So yes, sometimes, you know, I have to send that email. Unfortunately, we do not provide the service.
That kind of service.
Exactly.
Okay, okay. Interesting.
So yes, it does happen. But people, you know, they try their luck. They see, you know, what happens.
And do you have anything interesting? I'm trying to think, the weirdest thing I would think is something to do with reptiles, because I just can't imagine why you would keep them. But do you have that kind of thing, you know, weird pet shops and stuff like that? Is there all sorts of...
No, I think they're more like...
More everyday.
Yeah, generic stuff. And remember, we don't sell products, it's services. So I don't know, you mentioned, let's say, the pet shop. You're not going to find one, you know. You'll find a pet groomer or a pet sitter.
I need someone to stroke my snake or something.
No, but again, you are requesting the profession. So
you look for, of
exactly.
course.
So then if you actually type in, okay, I'm not actually going to repeat what's on, you know, then I will you know, contact the user uh-huh. and say, I'm afraid, you know.
There isn't one in Malta or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe you can put a call out through your social media to find and one of these unusual service providers. Yeah. So is there, apart from snake strokers, is there anyone else that might be missing on the website at all? Is there you know, a service that you think people should be using as part of it that you think, oh, this is always a pain for me? Why aren't, you know, you can find this on chooseavid.com.
There are, I mean, I went through the painstaking exercise of listing over 200 services.
Okay.
So I think most things that you can think of, even something odd like 3D printing, you know.
I love 3D printing. That's not odd. I suppose, yeah, yeah, okay.
I mean, you won't find, you know, 10 suppliers, but, you know, it's there.
Okay.
So people, unfortunately, think of services a lot of the time as, you know, the handyman, the painter. It's so much more than that, you know. It
so
could
anything
be pretty much anything service-related.
Fantastic. So, I think everybody should be logging on now. So chooseavid.com.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Ilona Vella-Bengini.
Thank you for having me.
For talking to me, Monique Chambers.
Thank you for listening to this week's Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. I'd also like to thank Carmela Grech and Redent Abdillah for the production of this show. The show is aired every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and repeated every Friday at 7:30 p.m.